Hello, and welcome to Quick Charge. I'm Mikey G, and it's Tuesday, May 23rd. Several media outlets are reporting that Tesla has released its first commercial after Elon Musk said that the company would try a little advertising. Indeed, last week, Musk announced a reversal of the long-standing strategy that Tesla does not spend money on advertising, which many Tesla investors have petitioned for in the past. Seemingly because of the timing of this announcement, media outlets have deemed a new video on Tesla's Twitter account as a commercial. At 2 minutes long, the video hears a description from a customer on the benefits, features, and experience of owning a Tesla. As the title of the video indicates, it is part of Tesla's Drive to Believe program, which originated 8 years ago as part of a series of promotional videos for Tesla owners. So it's not really a TV or even a digital video ad in terms of digestibility, and especially runtime. Also, it's just sitting on Tesla's Twitter page instead of a paid position. Although one could argue that Tesla did indeed pay for a part of Twitter, but fact of the matter is that Tesla does have a marketing department, they do pay referral programs, and now the company is openly entering the advertising space, so we can all put this issue to rest. Tesla is starting to import Chinese-made electric cars into the Canadian market, which could have a big impact. The Shanghai Tesla factory ramped up production so well that it became Tesla's main export hub, mainly to Europe, Asia, and Australia. But then in Canada, recently a new Model Y rear-wheel drive brought the price of the electric SUV down to $59,990 Canadian. At the time, many suspected that the new lower-range version could be built using lithium iron phosphate cells, like Tesla's base Model 3. Could also mean that the whole car was made at Shanghai, but now indeed we are starting to see them showing up in the vehicle inventory website, and the VIN confirms that they are coming from China. According to information from local Chinese media, Tesla is looking to ship as many as 10,000 vehicles from China to North America this quarter. Virtually all of these vehicles are going to wind up in Canada, at least we assume, because U.S. buyers won't get access to the federal tax credit on account of their import. Tesla shareholders are showing overwhelming support for Elon Musk in a re-election vote. This is some solid news of solidarity, as many Tesla shareholders have been unhappy with Musk since he acquired Twitter. Putting aside all the political and ideological stuff, many were concerned when Musk sold tens of billions of dollars worth of Tesla stock in order to buy the platform, contributing to a significant decline in Tesla's stock price. Aside from Musk's personal strain of running yet another company, he reportedly took engineers from Tesla to work on Twitter. Some Tesla investors were calling for the board to rein him in, some going so far as to asking for him to not be the CEO anymore. Those calls didn't really amount to much, as the official results of the votes are in, and they are overwhelmingly in Musk's favor. Undoubtedly, many of the concerns were laid to rest when Musk announced a new CEO for Twitter recently, which hopefully puts his attention back on the big T. Tesla announced the expansion of its massive virtual power plant in southern Australia to 3,000 more homes. Back in 2018, Tesla announced that it had reached a deal with the South Australian government to install solar arrays and power walls on up to 5,000 homes, many of them low-income families. Over the last few years, Tesla has gradually deployed power walls to homes all over the area, working towards the goal. Tesla has confirmed that they have deployed 4,000 power walls, and they have been authorized on a new phase to add another 3,000. In the announcement, Tesla added that this new phase of the virtual power plant allows for Powerwall to be deployed with solar power. Lordstown Motors announced a reverse stock split in an attempt to remain on the NASDAQ stock exchange. As a quick recap, the American EV pickup startup, they came out swinging with a pretty good product that got at least one accolade, and also a stock offering through an SPAC deal. However, they floundered early on and never really reached meaningful production. In a recent announcement, they made 56 vehicles and delivered 18 to customers. The company's large-scale financial backer, Foxconn, they backed out on a stock delisting clause with Lordstown, and now Lordstown is on the ropes. The 1-to-15 reverse stock split was approved by shareholders at its 2023 annual meeting, and the goal of keeping the stock above $1 for 10 consecutive days. Their hope is that this will satisfy Foxconn, and they can get that deal back on the table. Good luck, guys. Lotus Cars and Alpine have announced that after 2 years, they are no longer co-developing an all-electric sports coupe that was slated to replace the combustion engine Alpine A110. According to an email from Lotus sent to Automotive News Europe, the automakers have decided to exit the joint development, saying that the mutual decision was reached amicably. This decision follows news out of Bloomberg last week that Renault is considering using its own internal technology to build up its Alpine brand EVs, rather than rely on Lotus and its majority owner, which is Geely. Lotus said otherwise, to an extent, in their Monday statement, leaving the door open for what they call other opportunities in the future. Alpine's immediate focus will be on delivering the Renault 5 Alpine, described as a hot hatch version of the upcoming 5 EV, also from Renault, and that's coming out in 2024. Ford CEO Jim Farley revealed that the automaker would include AM broadcast capability for all Ford electric vehicles. After several automakers, including Ford, Tesla, Volkswagen, Volvo, Polestar, and others, they began passing on AM radio, and it sparked a heated debate. During the event of an emergency, such as a natural disaster, AM radio is one way that the government communicates with the public, as the frequencies can travel great distances. But Ford's CEO is making it sound like the benevolent thing to do, citing the importance of emergency systems and saying that Ford has decided to include it in their vehicles. But wouldn't you know it, a group of lawmakers introduced a new bill last week aimed at preserving AM broadcast radio by banning automakers from eliminating it in new vehicles. So, good move, Ford. You did it. We did it, Mary. We did it. I know that's GM. Uber has signed a multi-year strategic partnership with robotaxi developer Waymo, offering driverless rides and deliveries to customers across Waymo's platform. The new partnership could bring massive scale to Waymo's driverless tech while offering an enormous pool of potential customers. The initial driverless rollout will begin on the Uber platform in Phoenix, Arizona, where the robotaxi company currently operates across 180 square miles, which, if you ask Waymo, is the largest fully autonomous service area in the world. Services will be available to Uber users later this year and will include the ability to schedule both ride-hailing trips and local deliveries. Solid-state battery developer Factorial Energy has received globally recognized certification from the United Nations to begin safely shipping its technology to customers around the globe. At this past CES, back in January of 23, Factorial Energy unveiled a prototype of a 100 amp-hour solid-state cell. Today, the company announced its latest milestone, sharing that it is now certified to begin shipping those cells to automakers to test for their own electric vehicle models. Factorial Energy states that the certification thus far ensures safe transport, and I'm going to assume that that means that actual automotive certification will happen at a later date. In today's community comment found on YouTube, most of you appreciated the psychedelic ending that I made for yesterday's show. I shortened up the song a little bit, but I used the heavy instrumental section from the song "Are You Receiving Me" from Golden Earring. I was also considering "Get Ready" from Rare Earth, "On the Corner" from Miles Davis, and of course, the Nile song from Pink Floyd. Hopefully that gives you an insight into some of my musical tastes, but only a few of them. Thanks for watching Quick Charge by Electrek. I'm Mikey G, and I hope you have a great day.